Hey there.
I'm Jamie, the New Yorker.
And I'm Talia, the Brit.
And you're listening to the Get Down, Lowdown.
Dating can be hard.
We get it.
The ins,
outs,
the ups,
the downs,
and the going downs.
Well, we're here to try to help demystify this conundrum.
To dig deep into the whos, the hows, and the whys of everything from ghosting to foreplay.
To sextiquette, to FOMD, and more.
We're not saying we have all the answers.
But as two women in the Big Apple who love getting down as much as the next gal,
it's only fitting that we give you the lowdown on what we've learned. Hello there.
Hi, Talia.
Hi, Jamie.
How are you?
I am very, very well, thank you. Happy it's the weekend.
Even though it's petering out very quickly.
Petering out quickly and bucketing down with rain.
And we're in a new space also. This is very exciting. I'm going to see Talia's apartment for the first time.
I know. Can you believe it? We've been friends for however long? A year and a half, 2 years. And it's the first time I've invited Jamie over.
It's very exciting. I get to see where the magic happens.
Yeah.
I saw her bedroom and everything.
I even made my bed for you.
Oh my God.
And it looks comfy,
so
right?
It does look so comfy. I understand why so many people want to get into it.
I've lit candles, set the mood. Put the essential oils
out. She gave me snacks. She was late to answer the door.
Yep. Yeah, of course. I was brushing my teeth. You know, I needed to be prepared. But anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in to the Get Down Lowdown. We're really excited to share this episode with you today.
Episode 4. Woo!
Episode 4 and going strong.
Amazing. We have some really cool topics today.
We do indeed.
Very exciting.
But first, I really need to catch up with you. How's your weekend going?
It's been a whirlwind. Friday, I saw My Fair Lady, which is excellent, and you should all go and see it.
My Fair Lady.
Okay. Shout out to LinkTix. You get $35 tickets if you're under the age of 35. Definitely worth checking out.
Well, we can.
So amazing. I know. It's like, Cindy's like, you're going to have to, Cindy's my sister. She's like, you're going to have to start like buying the tickets for us because she's almost at 35.
As long as you can do that and don't have to show your ID on the door.
I actually don't know what the policy is, but that's a good question. Mm. And then Saturday did a long bike ride. My bits are still broken from it. And then I met special friends' friends. It's pretty exciting.
I don't know what to comment on first, the fact that your bits are broken or that you met special friends' friends.
All of it was very exciting.
This is the first time you met his friends?
First time. Mm-hmm.
Did they like you?
I haven't checked in yet, but I can only imagine.
I can only imagine. Did you like them?
Yeah, they were cool. I'd hang out with them.
That's very exciting. Mm-hmm. Big step.
I know. And I'm excited to maybe set up some of his friends with some of my lady friends.
Yeah, like
very
me.
Exciting. Exactly. Exactly.
Get in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really, really, really cool.
It was. It was really nice.
Yay.
How about you? What'd you do?
This weekend, I went out on Friday night.
Of course you did.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Because you're young and single and fun.
I'm young and single in the city and I...
Oh, wait. This was your first weekend back out there, right?
Well, technically second, but last weekend was...
Oh, right. We went to the Guggenheim.
It was a bit fresh. It was a bit fresh.
Yeah.
This weekend, yeah, I was feeling, you know, a lot more like myself. And I had an English girl in town who was like a friend of a friend who really wanted to party. So I said I'd take her to my favorite man bar. She just wanted to meet men. So I...
Don't we all?
Yeah, exactly. So my favorite place to pick up guys in New York historically has been 310 Bowery, on Bowery. That is the address.
Have you ever been to Ainsworth? That's my pickup bar.
The one in the East Village? There's a few of them, right?
Oh, not Ainsworth. I lied. What is it called? Oh my God. It's that bar like off to the side...
You'll have to let me know.
You and I went there. I picked up a dude from there.
Automatic Slims.
Yes.
That's my West Village pickup
Ladies,
man
that
spot.
That is the place to go. I've never gone home from there alone.
Yeah. Automatic Slims, amazing. But if you're on the east side, 310 Barry is pretty good. It's like, it's a sports bar, but you can also dance and it's spacious. And there's lots of birthday parties there. So big groups of guys.
Nice.
It's a bit bro-y.
Okay.
But it's like a lot of hot, tall men. So it was really fun. We went for a beautiful meal down there first at this place called Cortino Bottega Organica. It's a bit of a mouthful. No pun intended. And it's like really chill. There's a little garden courtyard and beautiful organic pasta or whole wheat pasta or gluten-free or quinoa pasta.
Amazing.
Fresh fish. You would love it. Tons of vegetables basically up my street. And then we drowned it with several bottles of rosé. Went on to 310 Bowery. It was fun. Didn't meet anyone special.
You know. You win some, you lose some.
You win some, you lose some. I am I did get one guy's number and we're texting a bit. I just found out he's a 24-year-old student dentist. Probably not going to...
He sounds like marriage material, Talia.
Not going to be the future Mr. Lippman. But...
I like that. I like the assumption that he's going to take your last name.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess if you're 24, he's going to do whatever the fuck I say.
Maybe I'll take you on a fancy date to Carnegie Hall.
Exactly. We're onto something there. The young guy's trying to impress.
I know. We got to clear the shit out of them.
So that was that. And then actually, I was extremely painfully hungover yesterday, which was terrible.
That's what happens when you're 30 plus.
I know. I just can't do it anymore. But I did drag my...
I think you're a trooper for staying out until 4 o'clock in the morning. I know. That is badass. I don't remember the last time I did that.
Thanks. I had to drag my ass to a restorative yoga class yesterday, which saved me at Ishta Yoga, which was fantastic. I had an hour foot massage for $29, which was like...
Where?
It's like across the street from my house.
I've never done that. That sounds amazing.
$29 an hour.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's like a
foot job for $29. Yeah, I'll take it. Exactly. Do you get a happy ending too?
I don't know. No, I mean, I don't know what they do in the back rooms, but I'll take the foot massage and run.
Oh my God.
And then last night I actually did something interesting. I tried to transition an old guy that I used to date. Actually, the guy I was with the first time I met you.
Okay.
We hooked up a few times. But
I never met him.
You never met him.
I just knew he was there.
So I can't remember what I called him in the first episode, but let's call him X-Bumble. And he's a total sweetheart. It wasn't fireworks. And it for some reason, it just didn't feel... Yeah, we want the fireworks. It just didn't feel like... it or yeah. enough to you know, we were both dating other people, so we've just slowly become friends. We both were obviously in relationships and now we're kind of both out of relationships, but I still don't think it's gonna go anywhere. But I really think we could have a lovely friendship. I'm always looking for male friends, you know, and I think it's quite good when you get the sex stuff out of the way because then it's easier to be friends.
Yeah.
So last night I went over to his house. I made it very clear, because I was so hungover I didn't want to go out. I made it very clear that it wasn't a booty call. I went over to play chess, so I brought my chess set.
Nice.
Which we didn't end up doing because we just ended up talking about our breakups for 2 hours. Then we watched Dave Chappelle, who's hilarious, by the way. I didn't know he broke my Dave Chappelle cherry.
Oh, mazel.
And it was really great chill. We had tea and I'm super happy about it.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah. Are you friends with some people that you used to date?
Am I friends with people I used to date? Oh, I didn't tell you. I ran into somebody I dated when I was 24.
Yes.
He was 34. On Friday, I walked out of my office and there he is standing. And I was like, and it was a bad breakup. And I hadn't seen him since we broke up like 10 years ago. And I was like, holy shit. Luckily, I looked really good.
Yeah. And how did he look?
Chubby. Like very Sucker. Dad body. And he is a dad. He's like, I have a 6-year-old. I was like, holy shit.
Oh my God.
That is insane. But yeah, it was really, really surreal seeing him. And I like took a minute to recover from it. So we're not friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Am I friends with anybody? I mean, I'm friends with some people I've dated.
You and... our single friend who we're going to auction off on some future episode of podcast.
Who is, I think, somehow mentioned every single episode.
Yeah, just, I know. You just made out a couple of times.
We've made out a couple of times.
Okay, so they see what I mean? You've got to get something out of the way often.
Yes, it's true.
Or if you don't, somebody wants to get something out of the way. And it's just kind of like...
Do you think that there's the assumption that there's got to be like some interest from one person, like a dynamic that you like them more or they like you, or like a little bit of something
to maintain the friendship? Things?
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would you be friends? Kind of.
Well, I think there's just an assumption that like one person is romantically interested to some extent in any dynamic like that.
It's a tough one. I mean, it usually is.
Yeah.
But as I said, like, I think if you like get the something out of the way, I think you can get to the stage where neither person really actually wants to sleep with the other person anymore, but I think there's still often like a flirtation there because you remember what you liked originally.
Like I had a friend who lived a block away from me who I was like best friends with for 2 years. We started working together, subsequently like asked where one another lived, and literally he lived one block away from me in Hell's Kitchen, and we became fast friends. I saw him probably 5 days a week. We were basically emotionally dating, if not physically dating. Went out every single Saturday night. Like, it was assumed that on Friday and Saturday night we'd be hanging out with each other, going out, flirting with each other, dancing, playing, whatever.
It's like a relationship.
Basically, but we never were sleeping together, so we'd have, like, platonic sleepovers. And then one night he was, like, sleeping at my house, and he was, like, cuddling me. And he's like, ooh, I want to sleep with you. And I was like, and he's like, okay, well, I'm going to leave. And he left, and we had plans the next day. Like, we went to a gallery thing at 50th Street Pier, and everything was, like, sort of fine, but sort of awkward at the same time.
Did you want to sleep with him?
I think, it's so funny, that was, like, one of those life's pivotal moments. If he had acted differently, something would have maybe happened. Like, if he hadn't asked me, or, you know, if he just made a move rather than being like, hey, I want to sleep with you, I would have. Because, like, I loved spending time with him. I was attracted to him. Like, he was incredible. My parents adored him. And the fact that he like stopped and asked, I think there was just that abrupt like, ooh, okay, you have a chance or a choice. And it just kind of fucked everything up. And
really? I think that's so sweet that he asked and didn't want to presume.
Maybe, but I'm saying like in retrospect, I think I was kind of taken aback that like that kind of even came up. Just like the whole situation of it didn't work.
I think the
and
fact that you didn't just jump at that
right.
said something.
Right. And anyway, he's started dating this other woman who I met and who I thought we were like, she liked me well enough. And then he just disappeared after literally two years of seeing him every single day. He's like cold turkey ghosted
you
me.
You were no longer working with him?
No. At that point, we weren't. Never heard from him again. Totally disappeared.
So there you go.
I guess she didn't like me.
That's the risk. I guess that's the risk of having a friendship where somebody is into the other person, because then as soon as they meet someone else, the friendship's gone.
And then I guess the girl was probably like, did you ever have anything with her? And he's like, yeah. And then she's like, I don't want you spending time with her anymore.
Wow. So there you go. That's how.
It was really heartbreaking. Friendship. I message him every now and then. I'm like, hey, remember me? And he like.
Not interested.
Makes me really sad.
Yeah. I think it's a risky dynamic, but I mean, I really love male company, so it's
totally
such, you know, totally nice to get a balanced view on the world.
Tough to not have some element of sexual interest from one or both parties.
We're only animals after all.
It's true.
First topic, you had an idea for the first topic based on some conversations you were having with friends this week.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
So Friday night I get a text from a girlfriend and she's like, I'm feeling like a terrible friend, or I'm feeling very uncharitable, I think was the word that she used. She's like, and I need you to talk me off the ledge. And again, I think back to our conversation from a few weeks ago, I think it's hysterical that by virtue of the fact that I write a blog, people are like, oh yeah, you're like a dating authority. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. And up until recently, I had pretty terrible relationship luck, but I'm happy that people still somehow want to listen to my advice. So I was like very flattered that I was the first person she thought to message.
Fake it till you make it.
Exactly. And she basically was saying that she has a friend who's, you know, never dated, never really made much of an effort, and recently decided to like embark into the dating world, met some guy, they've been together for like 4 months and are like basically moving in together and everything is hunky-dory and they're madly in love and blah blah. And she's like, I don't want to feel sour grapes, but I feel sour grapes. How can I deal with this?
Sour grape means like jealous.
Yeah.
It's Americanism.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a big one. And yeah. I feel like so much more sensitive as we get into our 30s, because when people meet someone, sometimes that's it.
Yeah.
When you're younger, like boyfriends
it's
come
casual.
And go.
Who cares?
Yeah.
But and now it's like, this could be it.
And especially when you have like such a good friendship and you spend a lot of your time in like a friendship relationship, and then suddenly that's kind of taken away because they're going to be spending a lot of the time with a significant other. It is upsetting.
It's really tough. So my advice to her was basically, do you care enough to maintain this friendship? Because if you do, I think you just have to kind of like bite your tongue and be supportive and be nice to her and come and bitch to me about it.
Is there anything wrong with the new guy? Because that's a whole different story when you don't like the guy that your friend is with.
They're expediting things also. In a way, she's like, they've been together for 4 months. They're basically like moving in. That's also really hard to like witness a friend doing something that you're like, oh, you're on like a speeding train.
But we can't judge what's going on in their relationship. I feel like you have to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is...
It's hard.
And that's
all. On the other end of the equation many a time.
Yeah.
It's super, super challenging. Like you seeing all your friends, all the single crew, you know, you used to have a group of 10 single girls and then you have 5 single friends. And then you're like, oh, like really hard to find any single friends.
Yes. But you know what always makes me feel better? Divorce rate. 1 in 2. Give it 5 years. They'll all be back in the pool and you'll be the one with the least baggage.
That's true. I always joke that divorcees were going to be my magic niche of dating.
I think that divorcees are very, very eligible
because they can
prospects.
Be in relationships. Yep. They're eligible. They're viable.
They probably learn a bunch of stuff
totally
from their relationship.
How'd you feel about dating somebody with a kid?
I have never even been on a date with someone with a kid, and it just hasn't come up. I have weirdly matched with someone with a kid on Coffee Meets Bagel yesterday, and because I'm just kind of putting my foot back in the pool or my toe back in the pool, automatically the fact that they have kids, it feels like it's more serious.
Yeah.
But it might not be. For all I know, this guy is actually maybe looking for something casual.
Yeah.
So I feel like you just have to be a bit more open with the communication.
Yeah.
And maybe just check what he's looking for, because I don't want to waste his time. The other thing is, the first thing that sprung to my mind, his kids are 9 and 11, is would you have more kids? Because I really want kids.
Yeah.
But if he's done, that's kind of a deal breaker, but it feels
also he probably doesn't want more than like another couple.
Yeah.
Right? Like if he already has 2 kids.
Yeah, I wouldn't want my chosen 3. So like, do I
you
ask?
Want 3?
I think I want 3 because I was part of 3. I feel like that's a really common theme that people want what they were part of. You're part of 3, though.
I want to be a 2.
You want a 2?
I don't want a middle. And Special Friend actually sent me a really interesting article because his mom and I are both middle children. And, like, totally share our frustrations miseries. With being the middle child.
My sister would concur, probably.
Yeah. And there's an article about the fact that there's a reduced number of people who are having three children, first of all, from a financial perspective, but also because there's been, like, all these studies that, like, middle children can be problematic. Just, like, yeah, like, we're very high-functioning, we're very well-accomplished and do a lot of amazing things, but also, like, it's a thing. Middle child syndrome is a thing.
My mom's theory is, though, that if you only have two kids, if one thing happened to one of them, there's only one left, which is such a depressing...
Oh my God, that's such
I know, but it's... Can you imagine if something happened to your sibling and then you're suddenly an only child? That's like...
Yeah, but that's like people who fly separately, their entire family is like, well, all take separate flights. I feel like that's
But even
like,
later in life, like, it's just kind of the network has shrunk. But yeah, the middle child thing, I mean, I understand that.
It was tough.
As much as one can, being an older child that got all the attention. Yeah. All right, so back to our topic of what our friends are coupling up. You're trying not to be...
Jelly.
You're trying not to judge. You're trying not to, like, give unwanted advice. Like, what is the best way of... I mean, I say give the benefit of the doubt unless you actually see your friend...
making really egregious errors,
like serious stuff. Yeah. But even then, like, you have to be careful because they may marry this person.
Because exactly,
like, you just want what's best for them, and they're gonna want what's best for you. And relationships come and go. It doesn't mean it's forever.
It's true.
And you know, the other thing is just, I would say with friendship, like, just try not to, sometimes if you can, don't put all your eggs in one friendship basket, because they may meet someone and move country, and so it's just good to have, like, a broad support network if you can.
It's true.
But you can always make new friends if you need to.
Totally.
There's always single people to be found. Yes.
Like, go and find things that are interesting to you. If you love running, go find running groups. Like, people all the time when I was single were like, why aren't you going and meeting, like, biking guys? Like, there's tons of biker dudes. You're going and meeting running people.
Yep.
There's so many people, just find a shared interest. If you love pugs, go join a pug meetup. And I'm sure you can meet some beautiful pug daddies.
Totally.
And mommies.
And also ask everyone you know that is in relationships if they have any single friends and if you can meet them for a coffee. Not necessarily fix-ups. As in, like... give me your single girlfriend black book.
Totally. And I feel like we've broadened each other's friend circles.
We have.
Like, tremendously, just in our shared group of friends, and the fact that we like each other, we probably like people who will like each other, and so on and so forth. And I feel like we've made this, like, adorable little friend crew who are actually meeting some of them for dinner later.
Yeah, and trying to do more matchmaking.
Yeah.
What were you saying about official shit eyes?
Oh, when I've had friends come to me, like, I feel like I'm digging deeper and remembering that I have friends. It's like finding that dress in the back of your closet that you're like, oh shit, that person's single, I should set you up with them.
Yeah.
And just, like, you know, some of them are good, some of them are bad. My cousin went on a date with somebody this week who I set her up with, and it
didn't go well.
I mean, it didn't go badly, but
I need to throw the guy ex-Bumble into the dating pool. He wants me to fix him up. The guy from last night. Ready to fix him up.
Jewish?
He's not Jewish, but he's open to Jewish.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he's dated a lot of Jewish. I think he has a type, like me, as in, like, I was Jewish, and he seems to be dating a lot of Jewish women.
You have to show me a picture later.
Yeah, he's cute.
I'll take a look-see.
Okay, fantastic.
Oh, that's so fun. Oh my God, we should, like, make an Excel spreadsheet.
You can make the Excel spreadsheet. I'll just talk about it.
Oh my God, I love it.
Fun Excel spreadsheet. Oy vey.
Isn't that ironic as a creative person for me to even have thrown out that term?
Yeah, and that I work in data, and that's probably why it doesn't sound fun to me. It's like my life is spreadsheets.
Like, I can barely add.
I was like, give me a blank page and a pen.
Oy. Oh my God, I love it. I just want to set all of our friends up and make them happy.
Such a good person.
It really makes me so happy seeing other people happy.
Yeah, until you freaking fix everyone up, end your relationship, and you're back to the sour grapes.
It's true. Hopefully that won't happen.
Hopefully that won't happen. But even if it does, you will meet someone else.
It's true. I've officially deleted all my dating apps. Not, like, deleted my profile, but deleted them from my phone. But I'm not, like, deleting my subscription to them, because it took me 3 years to get into the league. I'm not giving that up.
It's hard to get in. That's a thing?
Yeah.
I thought anyone could get in.
Anybody, well, you have to, like, get waitlisted, plus then they have to approve you.
Are kidding. Is it worth it? Should I do it?
No.
Okay, forget it. I'm over it.
Sorry, League.
Sorry, League.
It's like pretentious people who think they're better than everybody else, and it took literally 3 years to get into it, so I'm like, I'm not getting rid of this until there's a ring on my finger.
Okay. Fair play.
But it's still, like, nice to be in it.
Yeah,
but I can like recommend you if you're interested.
I don't know, you've not sold it to me.
Yeah, it's not that amazing. There's better options out there.
Yeah, it sounds a bit pretentious. All right, topic two, down and dirty, getting down with the lowdown of sex toys in the bedroom. I am a fan. I say whatever gives
the most pleasure.
The most pleasure to the most people.
Maximal stimulation.
I have not experienced using a toy on a man. Hmm. I have friends that have dated guys and used like anal beads on them.
Well, Broad City like made pegging cool.
Broad City did make pegging cool. For those of you that don't know, pegging is where a woman wears a strap-on dildo and does her dude up the butt. Because obviously, I mean, I know how pleasurable the ass is, which means it's just as pleasurable for guys.
Just for you, honey.
Which is amazing. It's a thing.
It's totally a thing.
I love that we've gone straight onto the using toys on guys. Has a guy ever asked you to use a toy on him?
No.
Stick a finger up the butt?
No, actually.
Unusual.
Yeah.
Or maybe we just...
I feel like guys do like having their prostate stimulated.
They do. I'm like not really into it, but if I was with a guy that really wanted me to do it and I loved him.
Isn't it so interesting that like women... There's like an assumption that like a finger up the ass is like a common practice, but for a woman, it's like more taboo to have a guy ask a woman to do that.
Yes.
I feel like.
Yes, it is more taboo. Yeah, I think it's because it's got the gay man yeah, connotations.
Guys, it's okay. If you want fingers up your ass, just ask.
And I also think porn normalizes stuff. And so there's so much anal.
That's true. You never see a woman like pegging a guy on porn.
I would love to have a whole episode on anal play, but I think we should save that for a rainier day. Toys then, like not just anal toys.
Yeah, I like using like a vibrator.
A vibrator in the bedroom?
Sometimes, yeah.
Do you feel like you're getting more comfortable with that as you get older, or are you always... I feel like that's something that now I'm kind of so chill about, whereas I felt really like nervous about asking for that or expressing desire for that, right? Even though I knew that's what got me off when I first started having sex. Like, it just didn't feel like that was a thing. It was just like straight sex, and that was kind of like there was something wrong if you needed extra help, and it was gonna like diminish the guy's ego.
I think I've always used
it. You've always done it? Great.
Well, but I also like now I don't remember the last time I used one, because I feel like, again, I've been pretty lucky, I think, that I have an easier time having orgasms than most women.
Yes. Fair enough. If I could...
Yeah, so I don't think I've, like, needed it, but I would not have any issue asking for it. And I actually had a guy who used to be like, can you bring it out? I want you to use it.
Right.
Actually, I do remember last time I used one.
I think you told me about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes, like, they like using them on me.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, like, fun. It's like a toy. It's machinery.
Totally. I like watching porn with it.
Yeah.
Turns me on.
So good. Yeah, I'm a fan. It's... The type is quite interesting, though, because you need, like, if you want to use it while you're actually having intercourse, it needs to, like, not get in the way
like
too much.
Like, a magic bullet is good.
A magic bullet is good, exactly, because, like, I feel
just
like
a little bit on the clit, and you're, like, going at it.
If you whip out the whole ramp and rabbit, it can be kind of like, well, now there's two penises at play, and it's like, what goes where? So it's nice, for me, I just like the clitoral stimulation, so just something that's, like, discreet. He can hold it, you can hold it. It's quite nice when they hold it, because then you still get the, like, added, like, ooh, where's it going to go next thing.
I'm wondering, my current favorite is Lilo. Do you know Lilo?
I know the brand Lilo.
I think I sent it to you. I have like a Sona Cerise, and it's like beautiful. It's hot pink, which I love.
It's beautiful. And it's nice, like, when they look nice.
It's so cute. And it's called a Clit Whisperer, and it like fits perfectly into my hand. And I don't know how well it would actually work during sex. Yeah, it's like really good for solo play, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's waterproof also, which I love.
The Clit Whisperer, is that one of the ones that's like a round ring that you...
Yes.
You suck. So I find that it's quite hard to stay in place while you're having sex.
Yeah.
Because it needs to kind of stay still and rely on
air
suction.
But my rabbit was really good during intercourse. Just the ears.
Oh, you just used that and you flipped it around?
Yeah.
You can just buy the ears as well, like on their own. But
oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I never used the other part.
The other part? Really?
Solo play.
Even though you enjoy internal stimulation, you never use the I'm fine when I have both. The rampant rabbit's almost too intense for me. I used to have one at college, and it was
like,
you
call it a rampant rabbit?
What we called it a rampant rabbit. Wasn't that what it's called in Sex and the City when it got huge from Charlotte?
I thought it was like the jackrabbit.
Oh, maybe.
Did I make it up? I don't know.
That's like, isn't that how we describe men that are terrible in the bedroom? Jackrabbit. Bang 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 bang. But rampant rabbits are like a lot for me. It's like, whew, it's like intense orgasms.
And use both, like use internal and use the ears.
Yeah, I've not had one for a while because it's kind of a little bit too intense. It's like very sensitive. But I'm a fan, and like I love when guys are into it as well. It like shouldn't be a threatening, they shouldn't feel threatened.
It's a way to maximize everybody's pleasure.
Yeah, and it's
and your guy should not be feeling insecure about that. You're like, I feel comfortable enough with you that I want to like introduce this other way that we can both get a ton of pleasure.
Totally. And for women that find it hard to orgasm in the bedroom, I Everybody's strongly happier. Suggest it.
You can all get yours.
It's the only way as well that I can really get to orgasm too really easily. Mm. So that's like, it can
vital.
It's vital. Yeah. So I'm a strong fan. Tell us what sex toys you recommend during intercourse. We'd love to hear the gdld@gmail.com.
Yeah, guys, send us some wonderful sex toys, unused preferably.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know we keep asking, but...
No, but honestly, like, we're happy to always try stuff out and report back and tell you what's amazing. I had like a little waterproof rubber ducky that a friend of mine got me for my birthday, which was a really weird gift to have a male friend get you.
Maybe he's one of the male friends that had the one-way crush.
There might have been a little bit of an interest in me.
Sounds
but
like
it was this like little black vibrating rubber ducky that was waterproof.
Love it.
So that was also quite fun to use sometimes.
That sounds great.
It was really cute. It was like a little ducky.
I should shout out a girl I know who started a fabulous company called Dame Products.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've heard it. And they actually came up with one of the world's first
hands-free
vibrators that like Amazing. Fits in between your lips, and then it vibrates and you can use it during sex, but no one has to hold it in place.
What?
I did buy one. The problem is I bought it when I was seeing a guy at the time, and it's kind of something that's like easier to use. I feel like it's just easier to use when you're already like part of like a couple. Mm. And it's kind of like a weird thing for me to because it's very obviously something you would use during sex. It feels weird for me to bring it out with a new guy because they're probably going to know I've used it during sex before. So it's kind of just sitting
you're
in,
like, it's
in a
brand
box.
New. It's never been used before.
Yeah, I guess I could say that. It's pretty good. It's hard. You can't move that much because it can fall out.
How.
It's got these little arms. It looks like this little alien. So it like securely snugs
can
in
you
place.
Pull
I'll pull it up.
This is fascinating to me. I need a visual. It looks like an alien. Dame. I don't think I've ever heard of
products. And they've recently launched their second.
So what's the deal? It's like
it's called Eva.
Women's made products and stuff.
Women's made products for women to make sexual intercourse
for women
more pleasurable.
Women.
There you go. They've got a new
like
color,
alien.
Teal.
Oh my god, that's so cute. Okay, so you like literally clamp it around your puss?
Yeah, you just like tuck it into the lips. And this is their new one,
oh, these
Finn.
Are so cute.
It goes on a finger and it just means you don't have to like hold something. It's just like on your finger, like a like loosely over it. So everyone,
guys, it's really nice.
If you
want to
check it out, it's dameproducts.com.
What a nice looking toy.
Shout out
Eva
to
too.
My friend Alex.
This
is
awesome. Toys for sex designed by and for women.
I know.
That's awesome.
I'm still waiting for my freebie on the new one to try it out.
Oh my god, I love it.
Send it my way, Alex.
You have all these interesting friends.
Well, you know, what can I say?
So interesting.
Interesting attracts interesting. So do you.
I love it. It's true. We have fascinating groups. That's why we get along so well.
I think New York's just a magnet for fascinating folk.
It's true.
It's just everyone trying to make it and do something crazy.
So all of our global podcast lovers out there, move to New York and hang out with Talia and I.
Yeah, please, because all our friends are coupling up. So get on down here and party with me. All right, moving on to our next segment, Date of the Week. You told me you wanted to tell us about Brandy Library. I was like,
yes.
I've never been, but it's on my list and
yes.
I've heard it's fantastic.
Who did I go with? I went with somebody a while ago. They introduced me to it. And basically, like, you walk in, it just looks like this absolutely beautiful, sumptuous space, kind of well lit, feels very like men with cigars. That's like what you would think with like guys in like pinstripe suits smoking cigars, like a little bit mafia feel to it maybe.
Yeah.
But like really, really
like
classy.
Full of character.
Beautiful bookshelves just lined with whiskeys. And that's why it's called the Brandy Library. And like really plush leather seats.
Wait, but brandy and whiskey are different things.
Well, I mean, it's like all of it.
It's all
like
the liquor.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
All the liquor. Okay.
So you can sit down and have like flights of wine or lots of different really nice expensive brandies. And you know I love my whiskey. And they have like an excellent collection of whiskeys. And I went there, I think, as like a friend date a while ago. And that's who introduced me to it. And then like 2 years ago when I was dating that French guy and he was in New York. And he's like, where should we go? I was like, oh, that's like a really fun kind of unexpected place to take somebody.
Right.
So you have to make reservations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's fun to do like a whiskey flight. So I think we got like four whiskeys and we shared them.
Nice.
And it's just like a really beautiful space.
Is it, what's the seating like? Can you sit at the bar or is it always in kind of tables?
I think we sound like a love seat.
Love
like
seat.
Like very intimate.
Love
like,
a love seat.
Yeah.
And is there food? Nibbles?
We did not eat there, but okay. I think there might be food there.
I think I might have Googled the menu before. I think there's some light bites.
Probably like snackies.
Snacky snacks.
Like olives and shit like that.
So is it a good like Friday night spot or just any night of the week?
I think we went on a Saturday night and then we went back uptown and went to this like dive bar across the street from his hotel. He was basically like living in all these different hotels. So every weekend I would like go and stay at a different hotel with him, which was so fun.
That's fun. Nothing like hotel sex.
It was really fun. Oh my God.
I know. If somebody took me there on a first date, I'd be super impressed.
Oh yeah. It's not inexpensive. It's definitely like, you know, an investment, but a worthwhile investment if you're 24 and looking to impress a lady. Or if you're 34 and looking to impress a lady.
So if anyone wants to take me there,
it's just like a nice
GDLD.
Email Talia if you want to go on a date with her. Email me if you want me to set you up with any of my friends.
We are at your service, sir.
We are now unofficially professional matchmakers.
Pretty much. Okay, I have a question here for our Ask Us Anything segment. My question is, what are some differences that you found in dating American men versus international? Wowza. That may be directed at me because I'm English, but I know you've had your fair share of non-Americans as well.
Well, I think that's a good segue because, so basically the guy who I went to the Brandy Library with, we were dating for like a month. He was a friend of a friend who was living in Paris at the time. And she's like, I have a friend who's coming over to America for about a month. Mm-hmm. Will you hang out with him? And I was like, is this like romantic? Is this friendly? Whatever. And she's like, whatever you want it to be. So we walked in the door of the bar, went to Bea in my neighborhood, which is another great date spot.
Bea.
It was named after the guy's grandmother. And it's just like a beautiful local little bar. Cute. It was like my go-to spot. And they have really, really good food also. Mm. And he walked in and I mean, I think I'm maybe overselling him, or I've been told that I'm overselling him, but he looked like the dude from 50 Shades of Grey, Jamie Dornan.
Oh my God.
And he just walked
it.
In and I was like, and you have a French accent. And I just was like,
the French accent's hot.
I was smitten with him the second he walked in the door.
Mm.
And we proceeded to spend this like absolutely beautiful month together. And the day before he left, he was going back. He actually was like in the process of trying to find ways to move to America. And he's like, let's figure this out. But he's like, this was amazing. I can't wait to see you. Book a trip to me in May.
Mm-hmm.
So this was December and I booked a trip. So that was like 3 months or something like that. And over that 3 month period of time, we like barely communicated.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if you're dating other people. I was certainly dating other people.
And I think that's when I met you actually.
Yeah.
It was.
Actually, it's exactly it. Mm-hmm. Right before I went to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny.
So you must have been so excited to see him again. You were like...
I was, but I also told him I was going to get an Airbnb and not stay with him because I was like a little bit nervous. We'd barely spoken to one another in 3 months.
Yeah.
So I was like, look, I'm really excited to see you, but I'm going to get an Airbnb just to make sure. And he told me that was kind of the beginning of the end for him. And he was like really, really upset about that. And I was like, why don't you say anything? And he never said anything. So I showed up and the first night that I was there, he was like, oh, I'm actually traveling tonight for work. And
what
I was
the?
Like, okay.
What the?
So the next day we were supposed to meet up and we were supposed to meet at 10 o'clock at some like beautiful little bridge, park, whatever. I'm horrific with directions. I get lost walking around Manhattan, which is where I'm from. And he's like, come and meet me at this like random ass park. So I got on the train, got there early because I knew it was going to take me forever because I get lost. And he texts me and he's like, I'm really tired. I'm not coming.
Oh, dude.
So then the next day we finally meet up and we had like a lovely day together. And I was like, oh, this is why I was like so excited to see him. And all those wonderful feelings came back. And partway through dinner, he's like, are you still blogging about dating? And I was like, yeah. And he like pulls up one of my blogs and starts reading it. And he like didn't say anything. And I was like, okay, I think we're fine. Like we walked home along the Seine and we went by the Louvre and like did the cheesy touristy pictures and stuff like that. And then he didn't come home with me. So I texted him. I was like, hey, like, just wanted to confirm, even though I'm not staying with you, doesn't mean that I wasn't like expecting to go home with you every night. And he's like, oh, thanks for clarifying, whatever. So he's like, let's meet up tomorrow. So it got later and later over the course of the day. He's like, I have some work to do. So I went off to the museum and I was looking around and it was like 7 o'clock and then 8 o'clock and then 9 o'clock. And I was like, what is going on? So he finally was like, I didn't realize you were dating other people this whole time. You're a dating addict. I don't want to see you anymore. And I was like, what? I was like, you thought that we were, he's like, I thought we were exclusive with one another. I was like, we haven't seen each other in 3 months. You barely communicated with me and you thought that we were exclusive? That is legitimately crazy talk.
Screws loose.
So I spent the rest of the week running my way through Paris, walking my way through Paris. I lost a ton of weight, even though I was eating croissants every single day because I was so sad.
Oh,
I remember
babe.
Sitting on the train ride to Versailles, like hysterically crying. And these two missionaries, like American people, came over and they were like, are you all right, miss? And I was like, I'm fine. I'm just crying.
Oh, you must have had such high expectations for that trip.
Terrible.
And it was like shattered.
And it was so hot. And every single day I was like, just come and meet me. Like, let's just make the most of the week that I have here. And he was like being such a dick.
So he just sounds like a dick.
It was horrible.
He probably was married. I mean, this,
everybody says that. They're like, there must have been somebody else.
Something else.
That's... And on the last night, I was like, okay, I'm going to go on a date with a stranger. I'm going to like go on a dating app and like find somebody to spend my last night in Paris with. I'm a very social person. I'd basically been spending the entire week alone. Thank God my friend Sophie came over for a day from London. Sophie, you're a godsend. And I went on a date. He's like, I don't want you to go on a date with this guy, but I'm not going to come out and see you. So I went on a date with this guy, this lovely Israeli British guy. And he's like, I think you're amazing. I want to date long distance. And I was like, no, I can't do it. I told him the whole sad story. And I was like, you're great, but I can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah, no more long distance.
Oh, my God. So I came home the next day. There was like a bomb threat in the airport. I was like, I just want to get out of this godforsaken country.
Bless you.
I got home. And you know, now he messages me like every month or two being like, I miss you. And I'm like, please go fuck yourself.
See you later.
So that's one of my experiences.
So what has that told you about the differences then between European men and American men?
Perception of monogamy with like in a very short period of time without any formal discussion. I think there's just an assumption that once you start sleeping with somebody, you're monogamous.
So that is interesting. That is definitely more common in England as well. So, and I don't know, it's hard to generalize as well because I'm for America, well, I've only dated in New York and New York especially, you can date multiple people at the same time. I don't know if I was in like a small town in the downtown south or whatever,
right.
If I dated somebody, if they'd expect promiscuity.
I think it's just an assumption in New York that you're dating lots of people until otherwise.
Yes, whereas in the UK...
It took me like 6 months to get special friend to call me his fucking girlfriend.
But he wasn't dating lots of other people.
No, he wasn't. But still, I think that the idea that like once you put an official label on it, that's when you become exclusive.
Yeah, label, until labeled, it's nothing. And that's kind of what
as you know.
As I know. It's ironic though, because I swear some of these countries in Europe have... Having a woman on the side and an affair is very common.
Totally. When I was in Italy, so I felt kind of, like everybody was like playing around.
Yeah, like Italy, oh my gosh. Exactly. Okay, so that's interesting. Yeah, so it's more of a kind of monogamous style of dating at least, but then maybe affairs later.
Yes.
I find the difference between London and New York dating, the dating scene and the people are a little bit more aggressive in New York. You know, no one has time, everyone's in a rush.
I have 20 minutes, do you want to meet me for a drink?
Yeah, and it's like, do they like you, yes or no? I'm very like, oh, maybe I like them, I'll go for a second date. But it's like very cutthroat. It's like a yes or no, very decisive, and like fitting a lot in dating multiple people. So it feels quite aggressive, which I imagine could be quite hard. It could be quite hard. I find it okay.
Yeah.
I think the fact that I have an English accent and people like me more because of that helps. I can imagine it could be a little bit kind of harsh.
I have a friend who just moved here from Boston and he said the number one thing he's struggling with is the pace. Wow. He's like, it's just like so much.
In the dating?
All the time. Everything.
Oh, everything.
Just like the pace in New York. So I can only imagine that it extends to dating as well.
Yeah.
And he actually is not really dating right now. He's like, I'm just like trying to settle into like figuring out how I can handle the pace of Manhattan without also incorporating dating into the equation.
Exactly. Because dating's exactly that. Play hard. Date hard. It's drink hard.
Whew. I'm working on a blog about how dating is an endurance sport.
I mean, it literally is.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd be gold medalists, but that sounds like a great
post.
Relationships. Relationships is also
it's
a skill. Different skill, though.
Yeah, it's true.
Different skill.
It's true.
So what about you? Have you ever dated an English guy?
Pretty much exclusively.
Oh, right.
I dated a bunch of British men. I've had relationships with 1, 2, 3, 4 British men.
Okay, there's a theme here.
I do love the Brits. I was trying to move to London right before I met you.
I'm not surprised.
But now that you're here, I'm like, I don't need it. I love the British sense of humor. Obviously, I get along really, really well. Your
sense of humor.
Totally. Yeah, really dry.
Yeah, British guys are funny. Oh, American guys,
so funny.
Not so funny.
So, no.
Sorry, guys. Some are.
Yeah, Dave
Chappelle last night.
I love that you're like...
Dave Chappelle's hilarious.
The one American person who I'm going to be like is funny is a professional comedian.
He's really funny.
That professional comedian is so funny.
He's very funny. But I meet way more funny British men.
Yeah.
Why is that? Lack of sarcasm or...
Well, you got to battle the bad teeth.
Oh, here we go. She's throwing that back at me. British
men.
For
the record, Talia's teeth are beautiful. She has absolutely no teeth problems.
It's because I have a big mouth. So there's lots of room for them. But Jamie is bang on there. English people have shit teeth. They're like not
white. I've only dated Brits with good teeth. I guess I've managed to get the creme de la creme.
Well, maybe only the Brits with good teeth move here because they know that they can survive. True. Darwinian.
And the rest will eat them up and spit them out.
Literally.
I'll be like, it's a game in Manhattan and you're not going to step up with those shitty teeth.
If I see a bad tooth guy on the
apps. Bad teeth is unattractive. Swipe really left. Unattractive.
It's like, get that shit sorted out. Yeah,
like there's 100%, like there's so many ways to fix it now.
Mm, totally agree. So yeah, what are the differences are there? I feel like American men are much more straightforward with their feelings because in American culture, that people are more taught to communicate openly and say, this is working for me, this isn't working for me. British guys and people are a bit more repressed. They're not, especially men, are not taught to talk about their emotions. So it can be a bit of a guessing game.
Right, that's tough.
But also kind of alluring. Mm. And it's not like they're emotionally dead inside and there's plenty of guys that can communicate it, but it's just not as forthcoming.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like a guy in America sometimes will just open up so much on the first day. It's like, wow. It's like a therapy session sometimes.
That's accurate.
Mm.
All the guys I dated have been repressed until like we really get to know one another. And they're like, oh, here's my feelings.
Yeah.
With the exception of that lovely guy I dated for a month who disappeared on me after like a really, really hot and heavy month of dating each other like 5 days a week.
How dare he?
Meeting my parents. I invited him home for Rosh Hashanah. He met my parents. He's probably the first and only guy I've ever brought home. Yeah. And we recently like communicated on Facebook and I was like, so why did you disappear? And he's like, oh, it was just like too much, too fast. He'd recently become single.
Yeah. But Jamie, I remember very vividly at the time you telling me he'd just come out of something really serious. And I was like, this isn't going to go anywhere. He's been pretty transparent with you.
I knew that, but I think the fact that he just like disappeared was so rude.
Well, yeah, I guess because he's English, right? So you didn't know how to break it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Ever dated Canadian?
Probably, but I don't think they advertised.
I feel like that might be a good balance. I feel like Canada's often like a mix between Europe politeness and American kind of vigor.
Interesting.
Maybe if anyone's Canadian.
Guys, we need a Canadian for Talia to date.
I have been
She's going to be our guinea pig.
I'll be the guinea pig. I have been flirting with the guy in our Canadian office for quite some time.
Oh, yeah.
He's another baby, though.
Who cares? Now you can shag him.
Shag
is British, by the way.
Yes.
I mean sex.
Oh, British guys talk less during sex as well. That's another thing on the the talking theme.
I literally needed to put a hand on Special Friend's face today and say talk less.
Really?
Well, we were having like a very chatty intercourse session this morning.
Oh, and he was talking about like, so he wasn't dirty talking.
No.
You were just like, shut up and fuck me.
We might have to come.
Give him a gag. We can ask him if he'll let us
with
put us
Brian
in the pod.
Adams playing in the background.
Oh my gosh. You started telling me the story. I think we should end with the story.
Oh my God, it's so ridiculous.
It is hilarious that I want this to be aired live. Okay.
Mom, Dad, I really hope you're not listening to this.
Just turn it off now. Jamie's mom and dad, just turn it off now. It's been a great episode. We've loved having you.
So it was Special Friend's birthday this week. So he got a lot of birthday blowjobs, which, by the way, is a really nice gift to give a person if you're wondering what to get for your Special Friend's birthday.
Never gets old. Timeless.
So we woke up and he's like, can you go get some coffee? I'll pay you. And I was like, you don't have to pay me. You just have to bang me when I get back. So I got back and he's like, can we 69? And I was like, I really don't like that. Like, I find it, I want it to be either all about me or all about you. I find 69 to be distracting. I'm like, what are you looking at? Like, what's going on back there? I haven't taken a look at my asshole in a while. I don't need you looking at it. It's just like too much. So I was like, no, I'll give you a blowjob. So I gave him a blowjob. He went down on me. And he's like, please, can we 69 a little bit? So I was like,
it's his birthday.
I'm like, it's your birthday month. Fine, whatever. So we're going at it, and Brian Adams, Look Into My Eyes, comes on.
Look into my eyes, you will see. I don't think that's the name of the song, but I know which one. What you mean to me. Isn't it like Braveheart or something?
Sure, whatever. But like super romantic, but also like kind of cheesy, but like a quintessential
super
song.
Super cheesy.
So I just start maniacally laughing. I'm like, we're doing the opposite of looking into one another's eyes. You're looking into my asshole.
Which is kind of like an eye.
I'm looking at your nutsack. I can't. This is ridiculous. And I just start giggling. He's like, oh my God, you're the worst. And he flips me over and we start having sex. And then we're having sex and it's still going. Look into my eyes. I'm like, no, this is just like so cheesy.
Still
I can't do
not
this
good.
Either.
Not good.
And that's why we were talking so much, because like we were still just recovering from the ridiculous of that interaction.
I love when you get to that stage in relationships where everything like funny sex still is like good sex and you just laugh a lot and it's adorable.
It was good. We didn't need sex toys.
Didn't need sex toys. Didn't use sex toys.
No.
Aww.
I'm satisfied.
Babe, what a great story to end on.
Oh my God. Again, mom, dad, I'm sorry. Special friend, I'm sorry.
That was excellent. Look into my eyes. Oh my God, I'm going to remember that forever. Oh God. Every time I hear that song now.
You're going to think about assholes.
I'm going to think about your asshole in particular and your special friend's nutsack. Wonderful.
So romantic.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Guys, we need questions. Send us questions. We want to answer them and hear them and talk about them. GDLD@gmail.com.
Come get down with us next time. Mwah.